Welcome to the Business with Beers podcast. This is the place where we help entrepreneurs expand their business, build their wealth, and generate passive income. I'm your host, Brian Beers, an entrepreneur who's on a mission to inspire growth from everyone around me. Remember that you need to take the action others won't, and you can live the life that others don't. Please be sure to check out my weekly newsletter that now drops every Thursday. It includes one quote, one tweet, one podcast recommendation, plus some business and investing insight from me. It's short and it's sweet. My goal is to provide you with just a couple gold nuggets to help inspire your growth. Go to brianbeers.com to subscribe. Everyone, I'm excited today to bring you Devin Dollar and Len Yakuber. Devin is the CEO of the Corporate Cleaning Group franchise. He currently oversees all the sales, the marketing, and the franchise development. Len is the COO and founder of the Corporate Cleaning Group franchise. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, so let's go, kind of take me back. How did you guys, you know, start and found the Corporate Cleaning Group? Let's start there and then we'll get into the franchising aspect of it.
Yeah, certainly. So I started back in 93, actually, is when I founded the business. But if I go back a little bit prior to that, I was going to college, had some touches with the cleaning industry, going to school for business, and had an opportunity to go work part-time, actually, for a manufacturing rep business. So we repped manufacturers, different manufacturers. And so, although I had touches with the cleaning at that point, kind of moved over into it was a company called Carter Marketing, you know, that I shifted and went that route. And through that experience, when I was out in the field with Carter Marketing, I always kept tabs on the cleaning industry, you know, and what was going on. And it seemed like inevitably there weren't too many that were happy. And ultimately, I also recognized it seemed like it was a very unsophisticated business. You know, it seemed like there was a lot of mom and pop. Not kind of in my mind, just kind of a dry, not a lot of energy to that industry. And so, you know, I felt like, listen, if I could start up a business where there was a huge need and provide some sophistication, certainly there would be a big opportunity there. And I feel like that's, you know, really what we've been able to do was bring that sophistication. I always say I always wanted to operate, you know, Google and Apple didn't probably, I know Google didn't exist then. Apple certainly wasn't what it was, but I wanted to kind of bring that energy and kind of edge to the cleaning industry. And so, left and started back in 93. So it was just 30 years this past September that we began.
Where was the first city? Like where was this founded? What city?
Yeah, so my office is out of Livonia, Michigan, and that's where our headquarters technically is. And that's where it began, is in the Detroit metro area. So yeah, 93.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, and then just to continue from there, I was in another business and it was thriving, but just didn't feel like I owned anything. And so Len and I have been friends since 14. And I called him up and I said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but can you help me start a janitorial company? Everybody thought I was out of my mind, leaving what I was doing. And for what they thought, cleaning toilets, obviously that was not the case, but that's the perception. And so he helped me join independently. And so mine started to thrive. And then very quickly, knowing each other the way we do, knew we were better together than apart. And that's where the friendship comes in, that we have all the same core values, but we have polar opposite skill sets, which then was perfect to start franchising from there.
You know, they thought, you know, maybe he was nuts doing what he was doing. You know, when I started this, when I was with that cart with Carter Marketing, it was a young company that was growing, vibrant, you know, a lot of energy. And when I told them I was leaving to start a cleaning company, you know, they thought I was nuts, you know, that I'd lost my mind, like, because this was a young, you know, like I said, we're doing really well and you're going to do what? But the reality is, you know, there are so many aspects to it. If you kind of get beyond the fact, you know, a cleaning company and the stigma that comes with it, sometimes there's so many great things about the industry, you know? So, just kind of a side note. Yeah. I thought I lost my mind as well.
Yeah. So what are some of those?
Well, the first thing I would say is the bad thing about the janitorial business in general is it's not very sophisticated. The great thing about the janitorial service is it's not very sophisticated because what it does is it allows a company like ours to come in and shine. We never let that stigma bother us. And we came in and brought sophistication to an unsophisticated world. And I think that's why we shine.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll get back to that. So then when did you start franchising?
So we were legal 2007, but it really was 2008 that we, began.
Okay. And then how many franchises do you have today?
34.
Okay. And then walk me through, I guess, what the model looks like.
One side note to that, though. When we started, we got 10 right off, fairly early on. But because we had our two corporate businesses going, at that time, a lot of our attention, although the 10 or so were successful, a lot of our energy was put initially into the corporate offices and refining things. And it was later on that we really made the effort to start to develop the franchise side of things.
Okay, great. Yeah, so let's walk in. So what kind of walk me into the high level, like what is the business model look like? Like who are your target customers? I know it's obviously corporate, cleaning group, you target businesses, but walk us through like a high level, the business model.
Yeah, I'll start there. So when I started, the one thing that became very clear to me is you could call on everything. And that really put me in paralysis. And so very quickly, I said, I got to have some kind of niche. And so on my side, I decided I was going to be the number one supplier to large churches in Kansas City. And honestly, very quickly, we did that. And that was even before Lynn and I joined. But once we joined, we decided really quickly that our niche as a company was niches. And it started from churches. It grew to schools pretty organically. Then from them, Lynn really got some leverage on the healthcare side. Finally got some really traction on the corporate side. And there's a lot of companies that say, we serve those markets too. The difference is we serve them very independently, very tailored to their flow of traffic, very tailored to their needs from literally the first time they see us with our marketing material all the way through servicing their accounts. It's about their niche, their flow of traffic, and what works for them. And so those are our four, foundation niches.
And when we say corporate, we're talking about like office buildings, industrial, like what's that aspect?
Yeah, so manufacturing, distribution, office buildings, dealerships, to name a few. We have some pretty sizable manufacturing facilities. We do select property management, but it has to be the right property management. We are not a commodity type cleaning company, so it has to be more of a specialty type property management company for us to work with them. And a lot of times, that property manager, not always, but some, a good portion of the time is in healthcare.
Okay. And so of those, there's four main, but there's the three like niches, right? Churches, schools, and healthcare. Like what percentage of your business is those, those three compared to all the other corporate stuff?
I'm more into the numbers side of things, Brian. So yeah, 60% is probably, we're right around healthcare. And it's pretty evenly distributed from there, probably another 20% on the schools and 20% on the religious. It's a small, I would say, portion of the overall that's in the general business.
Okay. So single digits.
Yeah.
And we're talking healthcare, you're doing like hospitals, like rehab centers, like that kind of thing?
Number one would be freestanding surgery centers, definitely clinics, medical office. We do some hospitals and parts of, but really every type of healthcare for the most part we do.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a good niche. So you look at the economy now and like office space and people work from home and like, you know, there's obviously a threat of that. But it sounds like you guys, I mean, most of your business is not related to the office and it's things that are probably a little bit more recession resistant. Is that accurate?
Completely. Yeah, no question about it. We through COVID, the vast majority of the accounts were still going, you know, and obviously dependent in some states. You know, I can tell you across the board, most of the business, you know, probably 80%, you know, was for sure continuing on because of those niches we were in.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great model. So talk to me about how do you guys or how do franchisees get leads? So how do we get into these healthcare and these schools and churches and such?
Yeah, so literally the day they sign and we get an email that goes across our corporate cleaning group family, my team gets to work literally the day of. And we work with an outside company and we immediately develop their prospect list. For me, the prospect list is everything. It goes back to that farming analogy. You know, you're only going to land what you call on. You're only going to grow what you plant. So getting that list right now, it's ongoing, obviously, but we have all kinds of resources to create those lists. And then we partner with an outside company that immediately begins making calls for them, emails for them. And then we definitely are tied to them. We provide what we call corporate provided touch items so they can do their part. They do drops, they do follow up calls, but really everything from who they're calling on and so on comes from my team. And so they're working on their side. My outside company is working on their side. And our goal is to provide 24 leads a year, 12 from our outside and corporate side, and then 12 from their side. And with our close rate, with our account size, those numbers really work out if we're hitting those 24 leads.
Okay. So they sign, you guys use a lead gen, some sort of outside company to get the prospect list, and then an outside company to do the outbound calls to them, book appointments. The franchisee then goes on site. And you know, quote Leo's trained or whatever, quotes the job and locks it in.
Yeah. So once the lead is generated, it actually comes to my team, and my team vets that lead. We have an intro call, have a form, fill out all the information. We qualify that lead, and then that lead goes to what we call the managing partner. Or franchisee. And then the process is either an intro call, just introducing ourselves. Most of the time, it starts with a walkthrough. And then once the walkthrough is complete, we're immediately setting a presentation. And then from that presentation, after, you know, either taking other bids or getting it approved or whatever, then we close. And then we have what we call a startup meeting, which is really the point that Lynn's team gets involved with the support is once the close happens.
Okay. That sounds pretty smooth. How long does that process take for a franchisee to land their first job?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, every market's different. Every situation is different. But if you just go from lead to close, it's somewhere between 60 to 90 days.
We got to be careful with projections. You know, we can't, you know, say too much on the projection side.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into it, right? Nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the time frame.
Okay, like a 90 day, just in general, 90 day cycle potentially. It's not like months and months potentially, but it's not, you know, these things don't happen overnight either. So
correct. And what I would say is just if everything went from start to finish, which a lot of times it doesn't, you know, that process is typically that they're giving notice to their customers and so on. But obviously any of those phases can be delayed based upon, you know, their time frame and so on.
Yep. Okay. So that goes, Len, over to your team. And then is this at the point that then the franchisees start hiring the cleaners? Or like when does that process start? When do they start hiring people?
Yeah. So obviously when they sign up, they come to ops training here in Detroit and they do that initial clean, or I'm sorry, initial training. But then we have something we call first customer to first clean. And so the moment they land their first account, that comes across last email as well. So we literally know when they land their first customer. We know, we get the agreement. We know all the nuts and bolts about it. And then we hop on a call with them and we literally hold their hand through the process of starting that first customer. So although they came for training, got a bunch of information, we go back in and hold their hand through that first customer, so to speak. So there's honestly a team of people that we have because we have a lot of technology that's involved. We have the hiring process. We obviously have the back end with the finances and the books. And so all those team members get involved on that first call and they all take their piece to lead them through. But yeah, basically, you know, in our industry, typically, you know, there's a 30-day window, you know, on average, because they have to give notice to their existing service, which standard is usually 30 days. And so during that 30-day window, yeah, you begin doing all the things you can imagine, placing the ads, hiring, onboarding, ordering equipment, strategizing on how you're going to set the account up. So that's really off and running as soon as they get word that they've landed that account.
Okay. And then what is it? And I know it can kind of vary, but how many, is there a certain, like, how big are the staff? Like, is it like two or three people teams, or I guess some of them bigger, some smaller? Like, can you give me a range of what do the teams look like to do some of these jobs?
Yeah. I mean, it really is a big range. You know, I just went to Tampa a couple of weeks ago to help support a new location, had a nice medical facility that we got off the ground, and there were seven people, you know, that are needed for that facility that were hired. There's other times it could be a two-person team, you know, sometimes even a small surgery center that, you know, it's a good account, but they might be a smaller surgery center and they might only need two or three people. So there really is a big variance. You know, we say, you know, for the most part, if it's in our model, it's they're all good, you know, depending on the size.
Yep. Okay. And then, so what are some of the big reasons that then the clients leave their current service to go with you guys, which I assume are maybe the similar issues that you would lose somebody to go to a competitor? Like, what are the challenges there?
I think what's really interesting, because a lot of the and it's, I would say it's a loaded question in the sense, if I was to explain our systems, there's a lot of layers to it that people are, quite honestly, pretty surprised by. Because for us, and I won't go through all the details, but it starts from day one, that onboarding process, to training, to the technology piece that we have. And honestly, we spend a major effort of engaging employees that once they're in our system, you know, you have to put in quite the effort to engage them and keep them in the system, right? So there's lots of layers to it. So I think when you are presenting and they're frustrated with, you know, for maybe a number of reasons. Maybe they see staff coming and going. You know, they're just not simply meeting the need. They don't feel there's any checks and balance, you know, as far as the quality goes. When we come in and present a lot of our field technology, you know, we're uploading pictures and I'll just say more state of the art, you know, they recognize all that. And so I think for me, I always feel like, you know, they're wanting to jump on board. It's just, can we agree on price?
Do you find you're more expensive than whoever you're stealing that business from?
Yeah, so we're going to be on that, in that top third for sure. And if somebody is looking for price, we probably aren't going to be that company. But finding that, you know, still being competitive for sure. Still being in the conversation, being on that top third is what most our customers are looking for. I was just in our San Antonio office. We did four or five bids, and every single one said the same thing. I've ruled out the ridiculous high. I've ruled out the ridiculous low, and you are exactly where we want, because they know what it takes. Also want to circle back again of why they're looking. The biggest thing is just inconsistency. And not only inconsistency, most customers can deal with mistakes. When they start looking is when those same mistakes keep repeating themselves, which is why I think we are a different company, because of the systems we have in place eliminate making the same mistakes. Everybody's human. It's easy to miss the trash. It's easy to have an issue. But a lot of our systems prevent our locations of making the same mistake twice.
Okay. And I imagine the main system is some sort of like digital checklist with pictures and reminders. And, you know, in our car repair business, we have something similar. The technicians have tablets and they check things off. They take pictures of good things, bad things, before and after. And, you know, we can remotely check it and show the customer, and it's transparent and it's, you know, people like it.
100%. Yeah. All mobile friendly. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. I imagine one of your biggest challenges for the franchisees is retaining cleaners, right? I at least the stigma, it's a high turnover industry. So what are some of the things that you guys do to help franchisees retain their cleaners?
Well, one, I will say I end up having, I get on my soapbox a lot of times with this, because I honestly do have a passion for it, because I think so many times people just lump it in, and quite honestly, even forgetting the cleaning industry, like with the struggles that people talk about labor, I get super excited because I do look at it as an opportunity. And I always say, listen, no matter what the service industry is, imagine if you're the best at the onboarding piece. Imagine if you're the best at the training. Imagine if you're the best at engaging your employees. What a leg up you would have. So although we do clean, a big focus of ours is on the employee piece, on the front end and the back end, which to me, there's just a natural flow that comes our way, because when you are a leader in those areas, you do have a leg up. So one, I always look at it as a huge opportunity. But as far as things, you know, we're always creating programs. I think the thing with, I'll say with our industry, when you imagine, you know, people go into accounts, we're only hiring them to go to that specific account. They're not going to multiple accounts. They're not coming into the office. So a lot of times they feel like they're on an island by themselves, right? Yep. So how do you engage them? And certainly we have different programs. I mean, we do like a service program where they get buttons, you know, for years of service. We call people rock stars. We give them, you know, rock star buttons. We go into the field. We really try to make sure we're always aware of anniversary dates, birthday dates, you know, where they'll show up, take a cake, you know. So we do a lot of these things that just says we care about them, right? You know, it's not just all about us, but it really is showing appreciation for what they do. If you go onto our Facebook, you know, there's managers in the field presenting things. We'll do contests where they have to take a photo of themselves, right? And we do raffles. So it's just, for the most part, I would say I'd lump it all in, showing that we care and we do appreciate what they're doing. You know, it's interesting. And if I could, Brian, you know, when I go back to that Tampa that I was at two weeks ago, people would be amazed at the individuals that I was with, those seven individuals. They all have different stories. You know, we had a couple of them that were managers during the day, like solid managers for companies, but they have reasons for a second income. And they're coming in and they're doing their thing at night because they need that income. We had a couple, I mean, all of them, I think, were full-time people during the day, quite honestly, but they need a second income, and they're solid individuals. And it's not so much about the top dollar as it is making their wage, but treating them good. You know, they were blown away. We did an orientation where, you know, we had swag bags from them. We did raffles where we gave away $5 gift cards, you know, and through that first couple of weeks really engaged them, and it got off to a running start, you know? So, I mean, there are multiple things, but it's important at the end of the day to show appreciation and let them know you care. The takeaway with that is we set the franchisees up with those same systems and coach them on that.
If I might jump in, the other thing I would say is, you know, when we're talking to new managing partners or they haven't signed yet, you know, that staffing piece seems like such a, you know, weight around their neck, and it is something that scares them. It's something that weighs on them. But as you grow your business, it's not a staffing issue anymore. It's real people and real people with names. And Len's been in it for 30. I've been in it for 22. And we've had everything from helping people with their education to literally having somebody that needed help with housing to sponsoring, doing a sponsorship, you name it. All of a sudden, those people have names, and it looks really different at that point because they become, you know, part of our family.
Yep. Yep. That's great. Can you talk to me a little bit about the, you know, earnings potential? I know you've got, you know, a pretty good item 19. So can you kind of speak to, you know, what the opportunity looks like?
Our franchise fee is $54,000, and you know, the you know, all in initially is like $70,000, but we say, you know, you need $70,000 to $130,000 to operate. A big part of that is working capital. You know, it really is the labor in the field. So when you think of taking on business, you need to be able to bankroll that payroll. And so that's where when we say that $70,000 to $130,000, it's not out the door. It's just simply you need that to be able to bankroll your payroll. So we feel very reasonable franchise fee, not a lot of upfront cost, which puts us in a good position to start with. You know, on average, our FDD is like 1.5, you know, million. The gross margin is 45% to 55% on average in the FDD, or on the item 19, I should say. So feel like, you know, really strong numbers, no question.
Yep. And you got your corporate locations that have been there for, you know, a while, 3, 3, 3 and over 6 million at
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Kind of shows the at least the potential that, you know, this business can scale, right?
Without question, yeah.
That's awesome. How big are the territories?
Well, you know, we do it by zip codes, and it's tough to say, you know, in the sense of how big. There's a metrics that we use that we want a certain amount of prospects in, you know, and there's some key indicators, and it's kind of a little bit of a formula or difficult to just state, but we work with a mapping company. And at the end of the day, you know, it's typically, I'll just say, you know, maybe like a county, you know, sometimes it's more than a county, you know, but...
But it's based on the number of like ideal businesses in a sense, correct. Right? Not necessarily residential population because you're not selling to them. We're selling to businesses.
Yeah, correct. Or geography. It really is about correct. The prospects that are in a territory. The key that I would say with that, Brian, is our model is to build a true asset. And what I mean by that is where you're able to put layers in place, you know, managers, director of operations. So as a franchise owner, it's not you in the field, you know, doing the day to day down, you know, long term, right? You're going to obviously be out there initially, but the goal is to put layers, supervisors, managers, to where you have a functioning operating business. And in order to do that, you know, you have to have a certain amount of prospects and certain amount of customers that are out there in order to build that type of business. So they're fairly decent size in order to accomplish that.
What I would say traditionally, you look at like my market where we have three territories in the metropolitan Kansas City, a tradition janitorial type franchise might have 6 or 7. We definitely traditionally award larger territories because, again, we're looking for somebody to have a true asset.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. So what are some of the big differences between you and, like, you know, I know many of the other models, I think they sell them as like master agreements, right? They sell a master franchisee, and then he's like a mini franchisor, right? Then he goes out and then he finds like franchisees. And I think that is like the traditional model, right? Can you explain a little bit how that works and I guess why you guys did not choose to go that route?
Yeah, I'll start. Again, I think it goes back to the really building the asset. And I think the biggest difference from us, which leads kind of into the profile, I think a lot of the general standard commercial cleaning companies, they are looking for janitorial people. that are getting in business. We're looking for business people to get into janitorial. And that is a true difference. So we are looking for high-level functioning individuals that owns their own location, that can manage every aspect of their business and truly being business owners, where the whole reason those masters are in place is because they're typically dealing with people that come from the janitorial world. They're dealing with all aspects with them. We're looking for true business people to build assets, which is why we go to that single unit type model versus masters.
Yep. Okay. That's great. Cool. So where can people learn more about Corporate Cleaning Loop if they're interested in becoming a franchisee or maybe a customer or whatever that could look like?
Well, certainly our website, corporatecleaninggroup.com. You know, that's where there's a link for franchising as well as obviously the customers as well. So that would be the main source.
Yep. Okay. Great. And everyone who's listening, you know, I can also get you connected and share a bunch of free resources with you. I actually know the guy in Tampa. I was working with him earlier this year.
Oh, nice.
So
cool.
You know, he was excited to kind of find you guys and get started, and good to hear he's doing well. So cool. Well, thanks again for coming on, sharing your story and the impressive business you've built, and excited to see where it goes.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brian.
That's all we got for this episode with the Business with Beers podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is to rate the show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Also, make sure to link up with me on your preferred social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find all my links at brianbeers.com. Please just share the podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. And until next time, remember to take the actions others won't, to live the life that others don't.